if 16, 17, and 18 are main verses for today. They're short verses, but man, you know, they say dynamite comes in small packages. This is good stuff. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Thessalonian church. And he says to these people, to these Christian folks like me and you, he says, God wants his people, that's us, God wants his people to be full of joy. God wants his people to be a joyful people. That's what God wants out of us. And then, so I got a definition. I like this definition, but this is a definition of joy. So this is what we're talking about so far. Or this is what we're going to focus on for a little while. My definition of joy, not my definition. I didn't make it up, but this is the definition. Hey, listen to this, guys. Talking about joy, a deep, abiding, or lasting, a deep, lasting contentment or satisfaction, a deep, lasting satisfaction and delight that comes from God. And it is not dependent on external circumstances. So we're not talking about, you know, I'm happy today because it's a sunshiny day, or I'm not happy today because I got to go into work or whatever. That comes with our circumstances and situations. It's kind of like being happy. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm not happy. What we're talking about is joy. Amen. And joy comes from God. Can I get a witness? I'm talking about real joy, real contentment when my world is falling apart, real delight in my God when everything in my world is kind of tipped upside down. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So look with me, Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. May the God of all hope, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. May the God of all hope. So Christian hope, our biblical hope, is different, okay? So it's not like a maybe. So when we think about hope, we think about, well, maybe this will happen. Maybe that won't happen. Like, I hope little Billy has fun at his birthday party. I hope the kids make it home before dinner. That, you know, that's different. But what we're talking about, biblical hope is a knowing, okay? Like, I know that the Lord Jesus is the God of my salvation. I put my hope in him. I know he is the God of my salvation. Can I get a witness this morning? Thank you, Father God. May the God of all hope, I know that he is my provider. I'm not hoping he is my provider. I know he is my provider, Jehovah Jireh. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy. So look, joy comes from God. Amen. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, is what the NIV says. So as I trust in my God, as I put my trust in my Lord, I'm going to begin to cultivate some joy. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope or overflow with hope. So this is so wonderful that God says, I want my people to be full of joy. And God's not going to ask you to do something if he will not make a way for you to do it. Does that make sense? Okay, so God says you can have joy, okay? But joy is a supernatural thing that comes from God, and it comes from me trusting in his word. Think about what I just said. If you want joy in your heart, you know, if you want that satisfaction and that delight and that peace, for what, no matter what you're going through, I've got that joy in my heart. If you want that, that is a gift from God, and you get that by trusting in his word. Amen? So I have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside me. Are you a Christian? If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you, okay? Okay, So I am going to yield to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit says, don't think about how this situation looks so impossible. Don't look at the wind and the waves. I'm going to put my trust in God 100%. I'm going to believe his word to be true. And I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit says, no, think about how big your God is. Amen. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So the Apostle Paul says, rejoice always. Always be full of joy. Have that delight in God. Have that delight in God. Have that contentment, you know, that peace that no matter what I'm going through, I got the God, I got my Lord. Amen. So he says, rejoice always, no matter what you're going through. And then we have verse 17. He says, pray without ceasing. Now, it's not just talking about muttering some words nonstop, but it's talking about that close fellowship. And it's certainly talking about praying, but having that close fellowship with God, or have God be the center of your day. So do you remember, well, I'm going to use myself as an example. When I first started courting Rachel Jean, when I first met her, I was kind of smitten with her. And so we would talk on the phone all the time. When we weren't together, we'd talk on the phone. When I wasn't around her, I'd be thinking about her. You know what I'm saying? And if I could be with her, I'd be with her. Like, I remember one time, I used to work in the afternoons back in the old days. And she had to go get her oil changed or something like that. And I was like, well, I want to go with you. I want to hang out with you. If she had to go to the grocery store or something for her mom and dad, well, I want to go with you. See, that's kind of a silly example, but God wants that. God wants that. You know what I'm saying? God says, looky here, what you were doing with Rachel Jean, how you couldn't wait to be around her, how you were thinking about her when you were at work. Anytime you had a pause in your moment, you're like, I wonder what Rachel's doing, yada, yada, yada. That's what God wants out of us, man. You know, so if we're talking about joy and God wants his people to have joy, and that's a gift from God, amen, real joy, biblical joy, what we're talking about is only from God. And I'm going to get that by trusting in his word and yielding to the Holy Spirit, amen. Think about when you yield in your vehicle, man, you're letting that other vehicle go. Okay, so I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. I'm letting the Holy Spirit go, man. I'm following him. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So here we are in this crazy world that we're in. And I think we can all agree to that our world is getting crazier by the day. But God says, I want my people to have joy. And he says, you can have joy. And he says, look, pray without ceasing or spend time with the Lord. Amen. That close fellowship with the Lord. And as I spend that close fellowship with the Lord, guess what that's going to do? That's going to help me trust in him. Amen. When I have that close fellowship with the Lord, that is going to help me trust in him because I'm growing in relationship with him as I spend time with him. Can I get a witness? So look with me as slide two. God is good. Psalm 16 in verse 11, it says, our main text is pray without ceasing. Spend that close fellowship with the Lord. Let your day be centered around Jesus Christ. Okay? So look, Psalm 16 in verse 11, this is good. You make known to me the path of life. So your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. God's word guides me and leads me and directs me. You make known to me the path of life in your presence. Talking about spending time with God. Amen. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Amen. So if I want joy, and that's a gift from God, and I'm going to get that by trusting in my God. Amen. The more time I spend with God through prayer, reading scripture, worshiping him. Amen. I am going to begin to have more joy in my life. I'm going to have more contentment in my life, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to have that, just that satisfaction of knowing that my God is so good. Amen. Look, talking about my prayer life, talking about your prayer life, and that's something that we need to have. And you do have time to pray. Don't tell me you don't have time to pray. You got time to pray. Amen. But look at this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. So there is joy. There is the fullness of joy. There is complete joy in his presence. But I got to get in his presence. I got to hang out with him. That's what it's talking about. Pray without ceasing. Have that your day centered around Jesus Christ. Like I was talking about, always calling Rachel Jean, wondering what Rachel Jean was doing, going to see her when I could and all that. That's what we want. That's what God wants out of our relationship. He wants us to want to spend time with him. Can I get a witness? You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so I get this to look forward to, guys, okay? As I spend time with God, okay, one of the things that is going to give me joy, no matter what I'm going through, one of the things that's going to make me just excited, man, overflowing with joy, is this fact right here. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God says, look, there's more to life than this, man. You got a great reward coming to you. You got joys everlasting. He says you got heaven waiting on you, man. So just rejoice in the Lord of your salvation. Amen. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and it goes on. But so joy, which God says, I want my people to be full of joy. God says, I want my people to be overflowing with joy. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Well, how do I grow in the fruit of the Spirit? How does that fruit in my life grow? By spending time with God. You know what I mean? God is good. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The more time I spend with God, the more I'm going to learn of him, the more I'm going to get to know him, the more I'm going to love him, and the more I'm going to love my neighbor. You know what I mean? This thing, it's about spending time with my God. The more time I spend with God, the more I'm going to be able to have joy in my heart. You know that satisfaction of knowing, hey, my God's in control, man. That deep abiding, or that deep lasting satisfaction, or that deep contentment, or just being just stoked up, man, about your God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. Okay, that's the fruit of the Spirit right there. God wants us to grow in these things. You know, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Some of us are not naturally kind people to everybody. Amen. But the more time I spend with God, the more God is going to be like, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to be like, why don't you work on some kindness? Why don't you follow the examples that Jesus Christ gives you? Amen. The more time I spend with him, the more I grow in relationship with him, the more I am able to have joy in my life. Psalm 119 and 162. I rejoice at your word. That's what God wants us to do. Rejoice. And look right here. Psalm 119, 162. Psalm 119 is right in the middle of your Bible, and Psalm 119 is all about spending time in God's word and the benefits of spending time in God's word. So as I pray without ceasing, as I enter in that close fellowship with God, that my life revolves around my relationship with God, amen, I'm thinking about him throughout my day. I'm talking to him throughout my day. Even if I'm having a horrible day, let's spend some time with God. Amen. Even if I'm having a great day. And sometimes that's when we let our guard down a little bit and we stop spending so much time with God when everything's going our way. But no, it doesn't say that. It says pray without ceasing or continue in that fellowship with the Lord no matter what kind of day you're having. Can I get a witness? Psalm 119, 162. I rejoice at your word. God's word is a source of joy in our lives. Amen. We got to spend that time with God because, look, God says, I want my kids to be joyful. I want my kids to be full of joy. And that joy does not come naturally. Okay, remember, joy is not dependent on the kind of day I'm having. It's not dependent on any outward circumstances, but it's that deep, inner, long-lasting satisfaction in just loving my God. Amen? And that comes from spending time with God, hanging out with God. That's why this verse is so important. Pray without ceasing. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. Have you ever thought about God's word like that? So like finding buried treasure or something, man. Like great spoil. Like one who finds great spoil. That's how God's word is. That's how it's supposed to be. Do you ever spend time with the Lord and walk away from that time and think, man, that was a waste of time? No way. It's always a blessing. Have you ever spent time in the Word of God, spend time in the Bible, and walk away saying, man, that was a waste of time? No way, man. You know, but God's Word is a source of joy in my life. Amen? And if the Word of God is not a source of joy in your life, then we need to pray about that. Amen? That's what we're talking about. God wants me to have joy, and I'm going to have that joy when I spend that time with the Lord, when I'm praying without ceasing, or I'm having that close fellowship with God. Amen? God is good. That's really all I'm trying to say. He's God is good. In my pages. You know, I used to do like the microphone that just stays on your head or whatever, but I didn't like it, man. But there are benefits to having it, I guess. So now you know that about me. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Where does my joy come from? It comes from God. How do I get that joy? By trusting in God and yielding to the Holy Spirit. I got to pray without ceasing or spend that time with my God. Amen. Look at Matthew 11:29. Because when you spend time with God in his word, in prayer, worshiping him, when you spend time with God, you learn about him. But it's way more deeper than learning about him. You grow in relationship with him. Amen. Like I was talking about how infatuated I was with Rachel Jean early on. You know what I mean? I wanted to spend all my time with her, couldn't stop thinking about her. And, you know, when I was at work, I had some free moments. I wanted to talk to her, whatever, you know. But through those years, man, we're almost like, we've been married like 29 years. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, dude. Crazy how fast time flies. But we've got to really know each other. We have learned each other. We have grown in such relationship with each other because we've been through tragedies. We've been through good times and bad times. We've been through so much. So we have grown together. We know each other more than anybody else knows us. Amen? So this is what God says, Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Or you will find peace for your souls. Or you will find joy for your souls if you take God's yoke upon you and let him teach you. So the yoke thing, they would use these for oxen. You know, it's like this wooden thing they put around two oxes, I don't know what the plural is, but two of them beasts, they'd hook them together with the yoke to plow a field or something. But it was all about walking in step, going in the same direction. And that's what we do with our God, man. We're going in the same direction. We're yielding to the Holy Spirit. We're spending time with God. We're praying without ceasing. So I'm growing in that relationship, and I'm growing in joy because I'm learning all about my God. I have a deep relationship with my God. I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper. And God wants us all to go deeper and deeper and deeper in our relationship with the Most High God. Amen? So basically, let's go to the next slide. We shouldn't be satisfied with where we're at with the Lord. You know what I mean? He wants us to grow in relationship. He wants us to go deeper. Amen. And he wants me to have joy no matter what I'm going through. Amen. So, slide number 3, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Spend that time with the Lord. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So now we're at the verse 18. God wants me to be full of joy, and I can have that joy when I spend time with God and I learn of him and I trust in him. You know that verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart? That fits very well with what I'm talking about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Amen. Trust in God's word 110% and listen to that still small voice. Listen to the Holy Spirit when he says, stop looking at how hopeless this situation is and think about how big your God is and how good your God is. Amen. Because that's where we're going to have joy, when we spend time with God and we learn that he is trustworthy. You know, when you meet somebody, you know, you start a new job or something like that, and you got all these new dudes around you and you don't know them. Okay, after a little while, you get to know them a little bit, right? On the job, you ever work construction or something like that? Well, it don't take too long before you to figure out, you know, is this person trustworthy or not? And if you're talking about construction, there's not a whole lot of trustworthy. There's not a whole lot of, back in my day, there wasn't anyway. But the more you get to know somebody, the more you learn about them, the more you realize, okay, this dude is a for the moment type of guy. He says stuff and he probably means it at the moment, but he ain't going to follow through with it. We learn about people the more time we spend with them. So God says, dude, walk with me, spend time with me, learn about me. Okay. Don't just learn about me, because it's so much more deeper than that. It's like, grow in your relationship. Amen. Because the more God's honest truth, the more I know about him, the more I can have joy in my heart, the more I can have peace. Amen. So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is it in Christ Jesus for you? Because without Christ Jesus, you have no relationship with God. It is through Jesus Christ that you have access to God. Amen. And God just said, you know what God's will is for you? Is to be thankful. You know what I mean? When I first started preaching, in your first few years, young people, well, it didn't really matter, any age, but people were very concerned, you know, about what's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my life? And I got to thinking, it's like, well, recently, I don't hear that so much. It's more about, we want to do our own thing, you know? But it used to be, what's God's will for my life? I want what God wants for my life. But so often nowadays, it's like, well, this is what I want to do. Can God sign off on this? We want God to give us the desires of our heart. Amen. But what I'm saying is, we want God's desires to be put in my heart. You know what I mean? God gives me his desires, what he wants for my life. And he says, this is what I want. This is what I want for Seth. This is what I want for Josh. This is what I want for Sister Claudia. I want my people to be full of joy, and I want them to be thankful people. Amen. That's God's will for your life. And sometimes, you know, talking about God's will in our life, we think of it like a treasure map or something, to where we have to dig around and make sure we're on the perfect spot for God's will to be fulfilled in my life. And maybe we miss it. Maybe we don't get to it. You know, that's to be in God's will is to follow him, to be obedient to the scriptures, to be obedient to what God's word says. You're going to find yourself in God's will, and he will advance you and put you wherever he needs you to be as you follow him. Can I get a witness? Yeah, give the Lord some praise. Go ahead. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So give thanks in all circumstances. That doesn't mean you have to say, well, I'm thankful I got in that car wreck today. But give thanks in all circumstances. Thank God I made it through that car wreck. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't have to say, thank God my dryer caught on fire and my only good pair of socks were in there. Thank you, God. You don't have to, you know, but thank God my house didn't burn down. Give thanks in all circumstances. There's always something we can be thankful for. And because we serve a mighty God who loves us, We have no excuses, amen? We can always be thankful, and we can always overflow with joy, amen? Because I'm going to be spending that time with my Lord and growing in that relationship. But look here. Give thanks in all circumstances. Luke 12:32. Do we have that? Luke 12:32. For the remainder of this sermon, we are talking about being thankful. So, we got this verse right here that is going to help us be thankful because we are going to spend this time with the Lord together. Amen. And we're going to read this verse and then we're going to break it apart and we are going to have so many reasons that I can be thankful to my God. Luke 12 and verse 32. Now, this is Jesus is teaching about anxiety right here. He's talking about anxiety. So in the middle of this teaching about anxiety, he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He says, "Fear not." God doesn't want his people to be full of fear. He doesn't want his people to be full of fear. No, he wants us to be overflowing with joy. He doesn't want us to be fearful. Amen. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But it says, "Fear not, little flock." So that means we are his sheep, amen? But we are a little flock. We're not a big, strong beast. We're not a big, strong lion. We are a little flock, so we are nothing without the shepherd. But we got that shepherd, amen? "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure." It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you the kingdom. It's not something you're going to earn by being super cool. It's not something you can pay into, but it's because for God so loved the world, he wants to give you that gift. You don't earn it. He's giving you that gift of the kingdom. He's giving you that gift of eternal life. Hold on one second. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I see in that verse a lot of good things that can give me joy and that can help me be thankful. So if we are the flock, like I said, then God is my shepherd. Look at John 10 and verse 11. If we are the flock, God is my shepherd. Okay. Look at what Jesus says. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That's it right there, man. With that tidbit of truth right there, we should be thankful all the time, man. We should be full of joy all the time, just with the understanding of this good verse. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus Christ died so I could live. My sin was placed on him, and his righteousness was given to me. Guys, you know what goes on in my life is, you know, I'll stray far away from the cross, and we can't get far away from the cross. We got to go back to the foot of the cross and remember what's been done for you. Amen? We can't forget that. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Look at Psalm 23, verse 1. So we just read that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Now look at this. Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He takes care of me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If I let Jesus Christ be my shepherd, if I yield to the Holy Spirit, he says, "Look, you're the sheep, I'm the shepherd. And if you let me be the shepherd in your life, you're not going to need anything. He will provide for me whatever I need." Amen. If it's bigger than me, I let my shepherd handle it. Can I get a witness? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Isaiah 40 and verse 11. "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." That is so beautiful. That is so precious. "He will tend his flock like a shepherd." He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of all of us. "He will tend his flock." We are his flock. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He's going to take care of us. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. But he's also that personal, loving shepherd. And he holds us close to his heart. You know, sometimes when you're hurting and God still wants us to have joy, you know what I mean? God still wants us to have joy even when we're hurting. You know what I mean? Joy is not dependent on my outward circumstances. Amen? Joy is that gift from God, that peace, that knowing, you know. But when I'm hurting, because there is a time to mourn. Can I get a witness? There is a time to, God says, when you're hurting, I will hold you close. I will comfort you like a father comforts a baby, like a mother comforts a baby. Isn't that beautiful? He's a personal God. Even though he is the creator of heaven and earth, he says, I want to be there for you. Hang out with me. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. He's not going to leave anybody behind. You know, you got the mama sheep and got the baby sheep, and they're straggling behind. But the good shepherd ain't going to leave us behind. He will not leave us or forsake us. So one of the things that can give us joy, one of the things that can help me be super, super thankful is this right here, that God is my shepherd. That means he is my provider. He's my corrector. Amen. He is everything. He is everything because the shepherd, the sheep are dead in the water. The sheep are dead without the shepherd. They are completely dependent on the shepherd. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. I might need another one of these. Thank you, sweetheart. Anybody else? And I don't know. I feel weird drinking water in front of you. It's one of those weird things, you know. It's like, never mind. But thank you. Thank you. That is so good. Thank you. Thank you so much. You are amazing. Okay, so, yeah, dude, I fried my salivary glands years ago. That ain't no joke either. So, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Luke 12, and I believe that. I believe that because I know he's doing a work in my body, man. Luke 12, 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he's my shepherd, but he's also my Father. Amen. Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26. Do we have that? Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Talking about God being my Father. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons or daughters of God through faith. When I exercise my faith and I say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I've messed up so bad and I need a Savior. And Jesus Christ, I know that you died for my sins and you rose from the dead. I know you lived a perfect sinless life. I know. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I turn from my sins, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. When you say that, you just got adopted into the most precious family ever. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you saw fireworks. It doesn't matter if you fell backwards and you're laying down flat on the church for 4 hours, or if you felt nothing. But if you said those words and meant it, God heard those words. And you just got branded with the Holy Spirit. You know, you just got saved. You just got adopted, man. That's what we're talking about. You know, the cool thing about adoption is you get to pick your kids out. I didn't get to pick none of mine out. I didn't get to pick none of them out. And they're like a perfect mixture of me and Rachel Jean, so they're messed up. I'm playing. I really regret saying that. For in Christ Jesus, You are all sons of God through faith. I'm his son. Sister Claudia is his daughter. But the Most High God, the creator of heaven and earth, is my father now. Okay, Romans 8 and verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You got adopted. He picked you out. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So we are no longer a slave to sin. We don't belong to that knucklehead anymore. Amen. Can I get a witness? That means through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can say no to that. I don't have to do that. I don't have to get involved in that. I don't have to think that. Amen. We have been adopted as sons. And because I have the Holy Spirit, look, I go, Abba, Father. And Abba is an Aramaic word, and it means father. But it's really like daddy, father. So it's talking about I've been adopted. And that's not just something that Christian folks say. I really was adopted at that moment. God brought me into his family. And it speaks of that intimacy and that tenderness. You know, with my kids, they could call me daddy anytime they want to. But nobody else's kids, other kids, they don't have that relationship with me. You know? So what I'm saying is, God says, hey, you can call me daddy. You can call me daddy. He loves us that much. And he wants us to trust him. Can I get a witness? Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, so God is my shepherd, but God is also my father. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance. And he makes everything work out according to his plan. We could do a sermon right from that right there. Okay. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. Before the foundation had one brick in it, before God started creating the universe, before he started any of that, he handpicked us. He picked us out to be his children, to be his sons and daughters. That's just mind-blowing to me. But he handpicked us, and he says, we have received an inheritance. Remember this? It is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We have an inheritance coming. Just like we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we put our trust in him, that is a true statement, that I now belong to him. I'm trusting in his word. I can also have joy in my heart knowing that I'm just passing through, that God's got a huge inheritance waiting. I got the kingdom. Amen. Jesus Christ did all the heavy lifting. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. God is our shepherd. He's our father. And look at this, fear not, little flock, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our God's a king. He can't go giving a king. I can't give you no kingdom. I ain't got no kingdom. I ain't no king. You know what I mean? I make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I got no kingdom to offer you. Actually, I do, man, through Jesus Christ. But look at right here. He's a king. My father, my shepherd, is a king. He's in charge. He's sovereign. Let's look at Ephesians 1:11 again. Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance. I'm excited about that. We have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. Now look at this part. And he makes everything work out according to his plan. Thank you, Jesus. He is in charge. He's in control. It may not look like it, but he's in charge. He's the boss. Can I get a witness? So I'm going to put my trust in the Bible. I'm going to put my trust in his word 100%. I'm going to put my trust in him and what he says. And I'm going to spend that time with him like I'm doing now. And I'm going to have joy, man, because I'm going to believe what he says is true. Amen. Can I get a witness? Oh, man, thank you, Jesus. Luke 12:32, he is a king. He's in control. Psalm 22, verse 28. For kingship belongs to the Lord. For kingship belongs to the Lord. I'm not talking about George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. I'm not talking about Bill Clinton. I'm not talking about Obama. I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm not talking about Biden. I'm talking about God is in control. God is. Doesn't that give you peace? Doesn't that give you some satisfaction? Doesn't that give you that joy of knowing my God is sovereign? My God's in control. Amen. And he's my father. So he wants what's best for me. He's my father and he loves me. Amen. For the kingship belongs to the Lord and he rules over the nations. I just love that, man. God is in charge. We look at the wind and the waves and we can begin to think, man, I don't know, man. Well, what does the Holy Spirit say? Don't look at the wind and the waves. Don't be discouraged, man. Don't think about how hopeless some situation is, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. God wants us to have joy. That's what I'm trying to say. Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, talking about our king, talking about our shepherd, talking about our father. And he is before all things. And the verse above this says, and he created all things. And he is before all things, and he created all things, and in him all things hold together. And in him all things hold together because he's a king. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He made all this, and he holds it all together. So guess what? He can hold Caleb's life together. He can hold my life together. Amen. And I can have peace and I can have joy knowing these wonderful truths about my God. Can I get a witness? Oh, I love you. We can have that deep abiding, that deep lasting contentment and delight. We need to make the word of God our delight. But the more time I spend with God, the more I'm going to have peace. The more time I spend with God, the more I should be thankful. Amen. Because he's a good, good God.